I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
Their offense is better than that. Ben Johnson apparently told Aaron Andrews it was our simplest game plan of the year. I thought it was a little weird to go into a game with like a vanilla game plan but play all of your starters.
Yeah.
Like kind of sends mixed messages. Like, are you going for it or are you not? It seemed like he was trying to have a little bit of both there. So I know that that will not be the game plan for them against Green Bay. I think their offense will move the ball on Saturday night. The Bears, plenty of reason to doubt them. Caleb Williams, no.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Wait.
Don't wait. He's here. Danny Parkins joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is part of the crew on First Things First OT from 4 to 5 on Fox Sports 1. Danny also joins us via Twitch. You can check him out, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hi, Danny.
Layla, Marshall, Packer Week, Part 3. Let's go. Can't wait. I'm going to be in the house. Willing to guarantee good vibes. It's going to be excellent. Bought the plane ticket, bought the seats, and I got to say, I'm feeling great about it. First Bears game I will have attended since the double doink.
It's going to be fine.
It's a totally different situation. Don't worry about it. But I want you guys to know this. You guys are going to be the exclusive reveal of this. I've said it on a social media piece that I'm going to the game, but I will be sitting first row behind the Bears bench.
I will be
looking over Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson's shoulder, first row, 50-yard line behind the Bears bench. Best seats in the house. I needed to be sure that someone with great vibes. The Bears have been very good to me professionally. I'm riding this Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson thing to fame and fortune. So I am going to be sitting first row behind the Bears bench for the biggest Bears game in forever. And I cannot wait.
Okay. I have so many thoughts.
Yeah,
yes,
so do I.
Wait, what were you going to say? You were done?
No, I don't know. Go ahead. I got a lot more. But yeah, I will be wearing a very elaborate Bears robe and outfit that Fox is providing for me, and we'll be bringing the vibes. We'll be bringing the vibes.
I was gonna ask if you're sitting outside, but now you've taken it to another. I was like, he's probably in a suite or something. But now you out here with the people. Okay,
in a robe.
Well, it's a very luscious robe. It's a very nice robe. It's very luxurious. I cannot wait for this. I'm bringing Brad's son. I'm bringing nephew Jack, which is the only problem is he's a Packer fan, but that's okay. So me and him are going to be there. It's a family thing, Marshall. It's family business. Score fans understand. My dad grew up in Wisconsin. Brad was raised in Wisconsin. He raised his son a Packer fan. I would be going to the game with Brad if I could. But I'm taking my nephew. So Bears Packers, row one, 50-yard line behind the Bears bench, bringing the vibes. You will see me in an orange robe. It's going to be
of course it's orange, not blue.
It's yeah. Orange, baby.
Peacock it out.
Are you gonna wear a Dicka mustache? Like, what other props? Do you
sunglasses
get the crown?
At night?
Like when you won, do you get the crown like you had for the photo shoot?
Well, the problem is I lost the picks contests this year. I choked. I went 0-6 down the stretch. So Nick Wright took the crown off my head this week and put me in a dunce cap. So there might not be that anymore. I'm debating what goes on the head. It's not gonna be a cheese grater. I'm thinking about it. Cheese grater, but that blends in with everybody. Maybe the actual like the bear, like those Bears hats, like where it's like the animal that's a bear.
Yes.
Maybe just a Bears winter cap. I'm not sure. Sunglasses at night feels right though for this, don't you think, Marshall? If I'm wearing the robe, I may as well go sunglasses.
I was gonna say, if you're wearing the robe, I want like a robe and a matching crown. But like, are you just doing robe sunglasses, or will you have like some adornment atop your dome?
I need something to warm myself. You know what I mean? I need something to warm myself for my head. So it's either going to be a winter hat or a bear's head. It'll be something. But I don't think crown. I don't think crown anymore.
I think okay. It should be fur.
Fur sounds
something
good.
Something luxurious and ridiculous.
Yeah, if the robe's going to be luxurious, you have to match it head to toe.
So I need an orange fur cap is what you're saying.
It could be blue. Okay. It could be like an orange blue, you know, mock-up.
Orange or blue mega. I'll get Christine in wardrobe on that. We'll
like
get
a
that.
Pillbox hat, just like a bigger one, just like somewhat squarish. Just put it right on top and then the Ditka like mustache and sunglass combo.
But the sunglasses are definitely.
I'm not going Ditka mustache. I want, because there'll be so many people like that. Like it's going to be a one of one look. And so. So Greg Jennings has to pay off the bet from the last one, so he should be dressing up and video conferencing into the Friday show as Ditka if he holds up his end of the bargain on our bet from the last Bears-Packers game. So,
help me, if you say the word doink at that game,
we can't
mush this, Danny.
I understand concerns about my mushing prowess in the past, but I don't know if you followed what's happened to me since I left the score. I went 65% against the spread in the NFL in year one, and now I'm doing afternoons on the most popular sports talk show, First Things First. Things have been going very well. Ben Johnson comes on the show. You know, things are going very, very well. So I don't think I'm going to be mushing anything here. I don't think Bears fans need to be concerned with me being in attendance. I think this is a good thing. I think I'm bringing extra good vibe, and I couldn't sit in the corner or in a suite. I needed to be sure that the guys looking over Caleb and Ben's shoulder were fully in their corner, and so that's why I got the seats.
Yeah,
that's why I got the seats that I did.
Wouldn't you say things were going well for you at the score before, say, I don't know, the double doink, for example, or
they were going
mushing the White Sox, or
I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm like a steroid user testifying before Congress.
Oh,
I'm here to,
are you going to point at us vehemently?
I'm not here to talk about the past. I am here to talk about the future.
Shirtless under the robe like Ben Johnson or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm not tough. No. there will be hand warmers. There will be many layers. I'm not even above a poncho if it's raining. Okay. I'm going to be comfortable.
Soft robe, Danny.
The robe, I'm very soft. I'm very soft. But hey, I'm going.
Hey, Danny, when we talked and you were like, go to the game, and I wouldn't go to the game, I went to the Packers game. I saw the comeback in real life.
Good for you.
From the south
end
zone.
And you lived to tell about it.
And I lived to tell about it.
Now, there's a difference between 30 degrees and -5 degrees.
Is there?
It's a big 35 degrees. Yeah, no, that's a key. It's a key 35 degrees. May I? I have something else for you guys.
Oh, please,
yes.
By all means.
Okay. So I need to be specific in how I say this. But again, one of the weird things that happened, like obviously we do the jobs that we do. We talk to people, we know people on and around the teams. But then when you do jobs like this, more people are willing to talk to you for whatever reason, league partnership, platform, whatever. So I've been letting some people on the team and around the team know, you know, that I'm coming to the game and all of that. And one person on the team said that was awesome, but they also said, be sure you let Bears fans know to be quiet when our offense is
on
the field.
Man.
When our offense is on the field. They made very clear that the Bears-Packers game, the Soldier Field was rocking, one of the best atmospheres they had ever seen at that stadium. Bears fans are amazing. But pointed out that when they play in Minnesota, in Detroit, in Green Bay, their fans are silent when their offense is on the field. This is a thing that Jay Cutler talked about in the past. Bears fans don't have familiarity with high-level, next-level offense. We don't know how to deal with it. You need to be going absolutely insane. Soldier Field needs to be rocking. They need to be able to hear it across Lake Michigan. They need to be able to hear it at wherever the hell they're going to build the next stadium, whether that be on the moon, Indiana, Arlington Heights, or Mars. But when Caleb Williams is on the field, you should be able to hear a pin drop in that place. And so this is a thing that is being discussed. They need silence when the offense is on the field and to be absolutely raucous every other moment. Is that a fair message for me to get across? And listen, I know 65,000 people are not listening right now who will be at the game, but reach one, teach one. If 500 people who are going to be at the game are listening to this, tell your section to shut the hell up when Caleb Williams is on the field. You're supposed to, this, it took Peyton Manning years to teach Colts fans this. Like, this is not an indictment. It's not on Bears fans. It's on how bad the offenses have been in this town for 40 years. But we got to be quiet when Caleb Williams is on the field. This matters. This is the devil is in the details when it comes to home field advantage.
I do think that, I love that you're saying this because it is true, and we did have fans tell us that when the offense was on the field against Cleveland, they were already chanting Green Bay sucks, so I get it. But no, I don't think any of those people, dumb. I don't think any of those people are going to be at the game. $500 is the get-in price. I don't even want to know how you got your seats. But $500 was the get-in to the building price, and if I had to guess, I don't know, the corporate types or whoever can afford those tickets, I don't know how up to snuff they're going to be on crowd agreement.
Yeah, and also there will be Packers fans there, because when I was at the game, I was like surprised how many Packers fans were there.
Yeah, regular season will be a little different than playoff for the allotment. Those will go to Bears season ticket holders who will be able to have gotten it at face value. Yes, there will definitely be some corporate type. Soldier Field's going to be rocking. This is not me admonishing Bears fans. Bears fans are great. I thought Soldier Field for that Bears-Packers game, Marshall, that you were at, is one of the loudest I've ever heard Soldier Field. So bring it. Be loud. Be crazy. But just know that people on the 53-man roster and around the current Bears organization, they're trying to build a decade plus of sustained offensive excellence. So you got to shut up when the team is on the field. If Packers fans are cheering, we can't control that. But it'll be 92% or more of Bears fans in that building. You have to be quiet when the Bears offense is on the field. So just it's being a crazy rabid fan, but also being smart.
Danny, I will say this. I agree wholeheartedly with this education that you're giving all of our listeners and each one teach one. I believe in all of that. But at the same time, I have to tell you, I'm concerned because I think if they don't follow your advice and they don't use home field advantage in the purest form that they can, they're in trouble because I think the Packers are better than the Bears.
Based on what?
Based on the offensive play, based on just how bad the Bears' defense has been?
Well, listen, the last 4 weeks, so the Packers are riding a four-game losing streak.
Yes, they are.
And Micah Parsons got hurt 4 games ago.
Yes.
And in those 4 games that they largely have played without Micah Parsons, they have 0 interceptions and 3 sacks. The only team in the NFL to be in their company is a team that had 4 sacks and 0 interceptions, the New York Jets. Packers have been the worst defense in football in terms of generating negative plays for the last month. They've been the worst defense in football, even worse than the Jets. So the Bears' defense is bad. I'm in complete agreement with you, but they are at least opportunistic. They get takeaways. Like they make impactful plays. The Packers' defense is not good either. So we'll see what the weather does in terms of allowing for there to be a shootout. But these teams have played 2 very evenly matched games. The first game, the Bears could have won. Obviously, Caleb throws the pick on the last play. They were within 20 total yards of each other in terms of yardage in the game. They each had 1 sack. They each had 1 turnover. It was 21 first downs to 17. Like, that was an evenly matched game, and the Bears just lost it at the end. Second game, you were there. It was evenly matched. And the Bears are getting healthier. We'll see about Kyler Gordon. We'll see about Rome Odunze. But the Bears are getting healthier, and the Packers have key guys that are just not coming back at any point.
Danny,
so
I agree with that.
I don't agree that they are flatly better.
Well, you say flatly better. I just say this. We were talking about game control a couple of segments ago. I just think they have not. Now, if the Bears want to come out and play in the first half and be a viable football team in the first half, which they have not done in either of these matchups, yeah, you're right. But they haven't done that, and there's no proof that they will do that. So that's why Jordan Love has playoff experience. Jordan Love He's been more consistent.
Listen, Jordan Love has playoff experience. He has a game where he scored 48 against Dallas, and he has a game where he threw three interceptions against Philly. You know what I mean? So, like, the Bears played a complete game against Cleveland, and then they've played inconsistent games down the stretch as well. Like, it's just, you know, yes. But here's the thing, Marshall. Every team has flaws.
Yes.
Give me a playoff team, and I'll give you their flaw. Like, there is no juggernaut out there in AFC, NFC, 1 seed through 7 seed. So you give me the healthier team, you give me the team at home. The odds agree with you, right? The odds say on a neutral field, Green Bay is favored because by some of the sports books, the Packers are even favored by one in Chicago. Like, I'm not saying the Bears can't lose the game, but I think they've played 8 quarters against Green Bay basically to a draw on the scoreboard and in all the statistics that matter. So I think there are two very evenly matched teams, and the Bears are at home and the Bears are healthier. So I have no problem giving a slight edge to the Bears in the game.
Pack, like I said, the Bears have been playing chase from behind in both these games and needed a successful onside kick in the year 2025, which does not happen, just to win the game that they did win. I understand what you're saying about kind of neck and neck, but I'm just saying they came to Soldier Field and dominated for more than 3 quarters. So we'll see what happens. I hope the Bears win, but it's hard for me to sit here and say the Bears are better than the Packers based on what I've seen over the last month, and that's without Micah Parsons being on the field for the Packers.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the beauty is 60 Minutes Saturday night.
We'll know. We'll find out together. We won't be together because you'll be cold and I'll be warm, but yes.
I promise you I'd much rather be where I am for the game than where you are for the game. I promise you that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I also want to ask you, Nick Wright posted the receipts appropriately of him talking about John Harbaugh no longer being the head coach in Baltimore. I know it's something that you guys have discussed, of course. You know, what do you think? One of the notables to me was him talking about the flashpoint of the Friday before the Bears game and how the injury report that seemingly looked doctored or something was up ended up being something that was part of what led to the fallout here. You know, what do you think about just the times that he's brought up, Nick had, based on what you're seeing now and what happened yesterday?
Nick Wright is the best person in sports media right now. Period. He should be everyone's number one pick. There is no one better. There is no one smarter. People are like, oh, he's a hot take guy. He's informed. People talk to him. People really like his stuff. The people that are in his phone, the people that he interacts with, would shock a lot of people. He has been on this. I'm obviously not going to reveal anything I know about how he knew what he's known since September. That's not something that I'm going to do. He's obviously my best friend, so I'm super biased. But, he's been on it, and he was right. And now that the firing has happened and all of the quote-unquote insiders are allowed to start talking about it because the agents have given them permission, they're all catching up to something that he had 4 months ago.
I mean, that was it. You know, it was Bears adjacent, and that's why it became so compelling. We all knew something was up when that happened. But you can speak to the validity, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he has been proven objectively correct. He got crushed for it in September. He got crushed for it. But he doesn't care. He doesn't check his mentions because the internet isn't real. And it's a lesson for all of us to just do good work and be informed.
First thing you're eating for your game day food where you're not going to mush the Bears on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah. So I'm flying in Saturday morning on the first flight. And then, me and I don't know, we'll have like 6 guys that my high school friends that I grew up with. We're going to get lunch, in the burbs together. Still figuring that out, those details as of now. And then, coming down and, you know, my guy Carm, over at CHGO, they throw a great tailgate. So I think I'm going to show up there. Shout out to them and hang out with my nephew and, you know, it's going to be cold, Marshall told me. So I probably have to drink 6 or 7 cocktails or so. during that Rams Panthers game and over the course of the day. So
six,
like,
or seven?
Danny, your alcohol tolerance.
Like, I'm surprised that that's the number you landed on.
Yeah, over the course of the day.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought you meant like once you got to the tailgate, six or seven, and then we're walking in.
Oh no, from like you know.
Okay, that makes more sense.
You have a cocktail or two at lunch.
Yes.
You have a few at the tailgate.
Got it.
You have a beer or two at the game.
You're good.
And you hydrate a little bit. You mix in a water. And you just, you know, hand warmers.
Several maybe, waters, Danny. Several waters.
Yeah. Maybe a hot chocolate with spiked with some Tallulah or Bailey's. Yes.
Yeah, there's a Malort hot chocolate at Soldier Field if you're interested.
Yeah, listen, exactly. The world is my oyster. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe a beef, maybe a sausage, maybe a pizza.
Maybe all three.
Maybe a sandwich. Maybe a fried calamari at a steakhouse. Who knows? I don't know. I'm figuring it out as we go. It's going to be, and then I'm flying back Sunday morning to be back to see my kids and watch the football games back in New York on Sunday. So in and out, like 23 hours in Chicago, right behind the bench. Look for me in an orange robe.
Can't miss you. By,
telling people to be quiet when the Bears offense is on the field, telling people to loud the other way, representing like a real NFL fan base that has a real NFL offense. Bears fans for forever, it's just been like, oh, just be loud. And it didn't matter because our quarterbacks were doofuses. And we were just a defensive organization. Now we're an offensive organization, so we got to be smart. You got to be smart fans.
I swear he threw a QB1 party. It seems to cross my memory. No worries about that. None of you bring up the word doink to Danny. Don't you do it. I don't want to hear any one of you say the word doink.
I don't want the word double. Like, let's just stay away from the whole thing.
No doubles, no doinks, no words. We are not going to mush this team.
We don't have to be superstitious anymore.
Oh, Danny, no, no, no.
Ben Johnson, right, get, and Caleb get, Williams.
Ray, take care of this man. I
don't understand. Do not live in fear. Get ready for 10 years of playoff football.
Oh, 10 years. Danny and I are aligned again. You know, we've been aligned a lot lately, Danny. I like this. I like this.
I do too.
I should have quit while I was
Nobody used the word double. Nobody used the word doink. Danny, have fun on Saturday.
That won't be hard. Thank you.
See you, Danny. Thanks.
That's Danny Parkins. I swear, if any one of you says those words to Danny, I will come find you. And don't think I won't. I have free time and revenge on my mind.
Cairo Santos will not be needed at the end of this game.
Da, da, da. Chris Emma is next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Another game. And then from there, you go out there and make plays for your team. You understand that you don't have another game. But in my mindset, I go into it, it's another game. And go out there and go win a game.
That's Caleb Williams. He spoke yesterday at Hallis Hall. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And joining us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is our Bears reporter, Chris Emma, live from Hallis Hall. Download the Circus Sports app today. Are you on Twitch? You are.
Oh, I'm looking at him.
He's on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Chris, did you popped on. We heard your little sound effect. Did you hear any of what Danny was saying? Did you hear he's going to the game and he's wearing a robe and it's the first game he's been to since the double doink and now I'm scared?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was checking the AccuWeather forecast for Saturday night at Soldier Field, and they specifically said, which I'd never seen in an AccuWeather forecast, dress warmly for the football game. I don't think that means a robe. So good luck, Parkins. Go get them.
Sometimes when I'm cold at my house, the robe is the only way I'll stay warm. Probably says more about my utilities.
That's for sure.
Well, that's his point. He wants to peacock his way through a Bears, what he's hoping will be a victory. If it's not, it's going to be a real sad robe.
If Danny mushes the Bears, we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation.
I don't believe in mushes, but I understand the idea of a mush.
Then you work at the Score and you learn how to believe in mushes.
No, but I don't think the Packers are worse than the Bears based on what I've seen in the previous two matchups. That's all I'm saying. So we'll see what happens. But I know people are talking out there at Hallis Hall. They be running their mouths.
Yeah, let's get right to it, because we heard from both coordinators, Dennis Allen, Declan Doyle, along with, of course, Richard Hightower, and you're going to hear from the offensive and defensive coordinators of the Bears. And we'll start with Dennis Allen, because Sunday's performance was concerning. The Bears could not get off the field defensively. They were not able to build rhythm offensively as a result. And Ben Johnson on Monday pointed to the fact that they allowed just 19 points and saying that gives us a chance to win this game. Dennis Allen spoke about that along with the injuries and some of the struggles they've had in the secondary. He reiterated what Ben Johnson said. So here's Dennis Allen.
Well, ultimately, you look at points allowed. That's the number one thing. And look, it's not always as clean as we want it to be, not always as pretty as we want it to be. But our job is to give us an opportunity to win. And look, those things are all, like, there's a lot of things that go into those things. There's us being able to get off the field. I think the last couple weeks we've kind of hit a deal where we haven't done a good job of getting off the field, and we hadn't maintained possession as much offensively as we have in a lot of games. So that's how some of that stuff works. And yet, we had a chance to win both of those games. You know, comes down to the very end of the game, and you have a chance to win. Sometimes you're going to win those. Sometimes you're not. But I think the more often you put yourself in those positions to have an opportunity to win, the better your opportunities are.
Tyreek's snap count has gone down kind of steadily the last couple of weeks to where he didn't play at all last week. Why is that?
Well, I think, we got Jalen back. That's part of it. And I think Nashawn Wright's played really well. But there'll be a plan, in place for Tyreek. We'll see how the game plays out. But I think all those guys have to be ready to play.
Are there things that Tyreek can do this week to maybe earn a series or do more to get out there?
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to, whatever opportunities any of us get, taking advantage of those opportunities. So I know he's preparing really hard this week. Like I said, today's the first day we'll go out and practice, but I think he's in the right mindset, and hopefully he'll go out there and take advantage of whatever opportunities he gets.
Jalen's talked about his own health, saying that he just hasn't felt quite right. Jalen Johnson come back, obviously, from the injury. How do you account for that as a play caller, and how does that impact your defensive stylings for each game, just knowing that he's not at his top form yet?
Yeah, I think you got to take all those things into account. But he's working extremely hard, he's given us everything that he has, and I expect him to be able to do the same thing. I think each week he gets a little bit better.
I understand that points allowed has to be kind of the battle cry here, because head coach said it a couple days ago, and I know that that's the principle. But Chris, what do you think?
I mean, look, this team has not been able to get in a rhythm on either side of the football because of the inability to get off the field. And Dennis Allen did mention third down. That's been a struggle for this football team, but it's also been a struggle even getting into third down. And you saw that a couple weeks ago out in the Bay Area. And the Lions, yes, they only put up 19 points. You held them out of the end zone just as you did the Packers a couple weeks ago. But, man, it's not been a consistent ability to get off the field. This team has relied on either bending but not breaking in the red zone. You saw that in that win at Soldier Field over the Packers. The Green Bay was 0-for-5 in the red area. And then you've seen, obviously, the takeaways. This team has taken the ball away at a high level, which is great, but you can't count on that consistently. You have to get those three and outs. And then on the other side of the coin, as I mentioned, this offense has just not been able to get in rhythm until late in this game. And that's something for Ben Johnson, Declan Doyle, Caleb Williams to figure out. But certainly you want to have those long, sustained drives. You want to be able to keep your defense off the field, keep that offense on the field, such as you saw in that game in Philadelphia. And I think the key is that rushing attack is generating that consistent ground-to-pound physical attack with the offense, where you can sustain those drives and you can dominate that time of possession. That's just been eluding this team for a bit. It goes hand in hand. This team has just not been able to play complementary football, and they've just been getting by the last few weeks.
Chris, defense I've given up on. Give me some good news about the offense.
Well, look, you've got a playmaker developing in Colston Loveland. He finished with 58 receptions in the regular season. That passed Mike Ditka for the third most of a Bears first-year player. And he's having an outstanding rookie season and coming on late for this team. This has come with injuries. Obviously, DJ Moore's been banged up for a lot of this year. Romo Dunze has missed the last month. Luther Burden's been in and out of the lineup. Colston Loveland has been a security blanket for Caleb Williams and for this offense. And that's no accident. Here's Declan Doyle explaining why.
Yeah, he's very reliable. He's a friendly target to throw to. We talk about that a lot. He's a big, big player with big catch radius. And you don't see a lot of tight ends that can do both. He does a really good job in the run game. I think that's part of the, that's probably an unsung part of his game, that when you turn the tape on, it's really impressive for him, a guy that can threaten you on third down and yet on base downs can help you and be an extension of the offensive line. The biggest thing is, you know, you know what to expect out of the player. He's a guy that you trust in big moments, and, you know, we've loved having him.
Is this the type of option you thought you were getting when you guys selected him or you did there?
Absolutely. That was what showed up on tape throughout his college tape, and you hope that a player develops into that. And he's certainly, you know, met our expectations, and he still has meat on the bone as far as his growth.
With Colston, just back to Chris's question really quick. As you look back on the season now, and I know it took him a couple weeks to get going, was that just a byproduct of figuring out, of him trying to learn an NFL offense, of you guys trying to figure out how to use your tight ends? Like, once he got going, it felt like he didn't really stop.
Yeah, I think it was, it may be a little bit of both. You know, we certainly, as we felt more comfortable with him in some of those bigger spots, we started to move him around a little bit more. You know, early on, there were plenty of opportunities for him on the sheet, and yet sometimes it just, that's how it goes. Coverage doesn't dictate that the ball goes there. As the season progressed and he became, you know, very reliable for us and we trust him, he's found himself in some more of those spots, and he's taken advantage of that. He'll continue to do so, and like I said before, he's just a guy that we trust.
He's been as productive as any tight end. I would argue, Chris, that he's the best playmaker the Bears have right now for one game.
Without a doubt. And look, this is exciting for the big picture. Like, you drafted this kid 10th overall to be a game-changing presence in your offense and somebody that Ben Johnson can have a lot of fun with, somebody that Caleb Williams can generate a trust in. And you've seen the fruits of that already come to fruition here in his rookie season. You look ahead, man, this kid could have a really bright, long future with the Bears and be a significant weapon in this offense for many years. And obviously with Caleb Williams at the helm at quarterback, like, you love that connection. This is a pairing that is having a breakthrough this season as a rookie for Colston. But as you look toward Saturday, you look toward what you hope is a postseason run, Colston Loveland is going to be a difference maker. And I don't know if the Bears envisioned that in the beginning of the season, but they were just trying to get him more involved and get him incorporated and comfortable. But here they are now heading into postseason football, and they've got a rookie top 10 pick, a guy who you're really counting on, who's become a reliable bread and butter piece of your offense.
Chris Emma, thanks for doing the work today for us from Hallis Hall. And if you see Danny on Saturday, do not say the word doink. Do not say the word double. Make sure nobody else is either.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. That was Chris Emma joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Coming up next, we've talked a lot about Cole Kmet's family, both this year and just in past conversations, because the Kmets are athletic. Dad's a coach. Brother played baseball for Notre Dame. Other brother set to be a quarterback at Illinois State.
Already a national championship runner-up.
So we haven't talked about his sister. Non-competitive dancer. But it's her boyfriend that's an issue here. And then why is she still asking Cole for tickets? Let's get to the bottom of it next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast to you live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we heard from Cole Kmet earlier. He was on the Take the North podcast, had a lot of really good stuff to say. It was very insightful when he was at the podium yesterday, and if you missed that, you can check it out on the Bears YouTube channel, which I love. It is apparently, according to my YouTube Wrapped, my favorite YouTube channel. Who shocked? Zero people.
You're talking about the Chicago Bears YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yep, that's my favorite, according to YouTube. And I watch a lot of YouTube.
I'm so confused, but keep going.
Cole Kmet spoke at the podium. The Bears have rebroadcast it on the YouTube channel.
Got it. I thought you were talking about Cole Kmet on the show, because you mentioned the show, but I understand what you're saying.
I did that as well.
Yes, that's why I got confused.
The next thing that I am going to say is that Cole Kmet was at the podium, as I mentioned, and he was also asked about the rooting interests of his family. Because as we mentioned, you know, he supports his brother who played at Notre Dame, his dad, the longtime baseball coach over at Niles North, and there's his brother, Cooper, who's now playing for Illinois State, was this close to being part of a national title team for the FCS championship. And then there's his sister, who's dating Lucas Van Ness of the Packers. And Cole was asked about it at the podium.
I don't know. I don't talk to her on Packer Week, so I'll find out after the game.
You don't talk to her?
No, I'm kidding. Well, she did ask for tickets, and I just sent her the ticket, so I didn't really respond to anything else besides that. But
they asked the other guy?
No. They wanted the better seats. That's why. So I had to help my sister out. No, all kidding aside, but I usually find that out after the game. Usually she's just she's happy to see both of us healthy and all that good sister stuff. But I hope deep down she's rooting for us.
There's no chance she's rooting for him.
So she uses the brother connection to get the better tickets.
As she should.
Doesn't even ask the BF.
But she asked the BF when the game's in Green Bay because those are better seats.
How would you, if you were playing for the Bears or Packers,
yes,
how would you feel in this scenario?
I feel perfectly fine because she's doing the right, it's the same thing I would do. Hopefully it's the same thing you would do.
Would Cole give her the tickets though? Like if you were Cole, would you give her the tickets?
Absolutely. What are we talking about? She's my sister.
Like, my brother would be like, ask your boyfriend.
You need better family members. My goodness. Are you serious? Yeah, you need better family members.
We do stuff for each other. We just also mess with each other all the time.
Okay, so he would say that, but then get you the tickets.
I don't know. I'd be like, no, I'm not. Well, I also would be like, I'm not asking you for your seats if my boyfriend plays for the opposing team.
Do you know where they put the opposing team seats? Like, you know how far away that is?
Do you remember the Jordan Love's parent seats?
Yes, at the top of the freaking stands. No, hey, family, we're in this together. But one is her by blood love, one is her chosen love. So you got to go with the chosen love.
That's it. Like, you chose here.
Yeah. She can't help what team her boyfriend plays for.
She can, actually.
Oh, come on.
She can,
man,
choose a different boyfriend.
That's, you know what? You know what? This is terrible. No, I am
100% how I would mess with my brother if this were the case. I'd be like, oh, you want my tickets?
I'm 100% in the Cole Kmet camp of, yeah, your sister needs tickets. You get the tickets. And you know you don't have to worry about getting her tickets when the game's at Green Bay.
In the very real scenario, if I were playing for the Bears.
Go ahead.
I'd be like, why don't you ask your boyfriend first?
Linebacker, right?
Yeah, defensive line, yeah. Joker.
Joker? That's you? Your Dio? You're just wherever they put you?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lucas Van Ness.
No, I'm talking about what you would play.
Oh, gosh. Me, dream job is linebacker.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Linebacker, yes.
Yes. Yes. My goal is to mess up all things.
In this scenario, you were the linebacker for the Bears, and your brother asked you for tickets, or however you want to put this.
Yeah, it'd be the sister asking me for tickets. I always think of my brother when I'm messing with my family. My sister's too cool for all of that.
But anyway, she asked for tickets. And you say, get your brother get your boyfriend to get them.
I'd be like, oh, you chose your boyfriend. You chose your boyfriend in this rivalry.
Yes, but it's just a rivalry. Some things are more important than rivalries.
My siblings and I don't really have rivalry.
At all? Sibling rivalry didn't exist in your household growing up.
It might have been the age gap and stuff. And then staggered by marriage and whatnot.
Yeah, only rivalry I have with my siblings is, y'all better get these chores done because I'm not doing them anymore.
Oh, yeah, I just accepted the fact that I was the one cleaning the bathroom every week, you know?
So here's the
perhaps,
dynamic.
Perhaps that was it. I gave up the fight early.
The one thing that was constant, and we revisited this past Christmas, the rule in the house was, I grew up on the diabetic version of sweet tea, 2 cups of sugar for every gallon of tea. Got that? Picture that. Version. So you make the iced tea, the sweet tea, and if you drink the last of the sweet tea, it is now your responsibility to make the next batch of sweet tea. And because of that, you would often open the refrigerator and there would be a gallon container and you could see the bottom of it because it's clear, with a film of sweet tea at the bottom of it. Like, come on, man. That's the last of it. No, there's something in there. And knowing if you drink it, you've got to make the rest. And
like that, the Brita filter, I'm refilling the Brita filter.
Like, yeah. It's,
I'm typically the one washing the dishes.
But my brother and I used to really get into it over the making of the sweet tea. Neither one of us wanted to take the time to make it.
Don't you remember Terry Tate, office linebacker?
Who could ever forget?
You kill the Joe, you make some more. I'm not going to say Mo. It's just not too ridiculous for me.
But it rhymes.
When he says it.
It could rhyme when you say it, too.
615, my sister ain't getting them. Make Van Ness man up.
But like, don't you want your sister to have better tickets?
Never go against the family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
That's the worst example.
That's the best example.
That guy went to space and his t-shirt didn't even get dirty.
When are we getting our next Fast and Furious? They've got like a cliffhanger they left us on. Hold on, let me find this out.
They have a cliffhanger on the Fast and Furious?
Yeah, it's a yes.
Fast and Furious 20.
That was number
it's
9,
just
I think.
Cliffhangers.
Fast and Furious.
No, they're up to 12, dude.
No.
Yes.
No. Fast and Furious. I don't. Is Fast and Furious 11 coming? Yeah, they're 10. It was reported that an 11th film, a throwback to the original film, consists of a single mission.
Oh, I see a trailer, man. I see a trailer.
There's a trailer?
Oh, boy.
I missed that because. You know, it is Fast 12 is the next one. Fast 12 is the next one.
I stopped watching once they put a car in space.
Hey, that was awesome.
See, the thing
it was
is,
too much. It was too much.
I firmly believe you learn a lot about people by knowing how many Fast and the Furious movies they've watched.
Hey, Layla.
What you learn, I don't know yet.
Hey, Layla.
Yes.
I've seen them all.
I only saw two.
Some of them willingly. Some of them by chance because somebody else was watching. And I was like, oh, what's this?
You like movies, though.
I do like movies.
You like movies, and you like action.
The new Avengers Doomsday trailer is out, and I'm like, oh, let's only 11 more months till a movie that I'm really excited about.
But I've seen two of them.
The Hollywood Reporter, here's a headline from 3 weeks ago, by the way. Vin Diesel says he, quote, wrote a role for Cristiano Ronaldo in the next Fast and Furious movie.
Who wrote the role? Who?
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel's writing for other people?
Why are you on Vin Diesel? He can't write? He can't write? He's not allowed?
Vin Diesel is the champion, president, and client of the Secure the Bag All-Stars. Like, he's the one.
Is he, though?
Yes! He makes money off of everything. He doesn't even have to costume change.
You think he's above The Rock, who came in and took part of the Fast and Furious?
Isn't that the question?
Like, The Rock, Kevin Hart,
isn't
I can name some Secure the Bag.
There?
If we're going Mount Rushmore of Secure the Bag, I think...
Adam Sandler had a pretty good run.
I think he's still running. I think The Rock has to be on the Mount Rushmore of Secure
what
the Bag.
What is this role that Vin Diesel claims to have written for Cristiano Ronaldo? Does he kick a soccer ball and it like push starts an ignition or something and then they all win?
You know what? That could be a thing. Now I'm not even being funny.
And then they like turn and they're like, thanks, Cristiano Ronaldo. And he like smiles and puts his thumbs up and it's like, boop, 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 boop,
and then they get
and
the
that's the end of the movie.
And then they get the DNA test back. He's like, what? We're related? Family. See how that goes? See how that goes?
And then they wake up and it was all a dream. And congratulations, you just passed third grade English.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, there's a potential release date of April 2027. So
what?
Yeah.
I gotta wait a year and change for the next Fast and Furious?
Do you think this is how the first date with Lucas Van
Do you understand
Nassen,
people
Cole
could
Komet's
be dead from...
Went? Was she like, how many Fast and the Furious movies have you seen?
Layla, people could be dead by the time... This is like worse than... I'm trying to think of gaps in sequels. What, Coming to America and then the sequel to Coming to America?
Anchorman and Anchorman 2.
Anchorman and Anchorman 2. That's up there. Listen, we got to stop this gap between the sequels. Okay? Like, if you're going to do it like the MCU did it. We knew when Infinity War came out, when Endgame was coming out.
Why are you so mad?
Just
watch one of the other 10 again.
What year was Fast and Furious 11? Hold on.
Well, I love this quote. Here's the final quote we'll give you from the Hollywood Reporter article on this. This is from Vin Diesel. Quote, just yesterday I was with Universal Studios. The studio said to me, Vin, can we please have the finale of Fast and Furious in by April 2027? That's supposedly the quote from the Universal Studios executives to Vin Diesel.
What is this, Entourage? Like, they're just, is it Dana Gordon talking to Ari Gold now? Like, is that the direct quote? It said Dana Gordon to Ari Gold.
They're
like,
still,
what are we, this is, none of this is real.
Layla,
this entire segment has not been real.
They're still not as bad as Avatar and then Avatar 2. And now we're, I guess we're, there's like seven or eight Avatars in the works. The gaps aren't that big.
That's the James it's Cameron not, had to secure the bag for more of the submarine stuff.
Also, it's not Bears playoff win bad.
What the hell?
I'm just telling you.
Keep Danny away from this game. I've never felt so confident about a result in my life. I am scared. Spiegel and Holmes are next.
Hey, Mia, you better hide your baby, or you
better hide that big-ass forehead.